Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're cutting through the sources to really understand the rules, the regulations governing auditors.
Yeah, that's a pretty complex area.
It is. We want to explore why they exist, who's enforcing them, and why they're so fundamental for financial trust. Okay, let's get into it.
Well, what's really interesting here is where it all started. You had these massive audit failures. Think Enron, Arthur Andersen.
It's huge news back then.
Exactly. And it wasn't just financial loss. It created this deep crisis of public trust that really sparked a global push for major reform.
Okay, a crisis of trust. So saying rebuild trust is one thing, but what did that actually, look like on the ground? What were the steps?
Right. So essentially, three big ideas emerged. First, trying to get everyone on the same page with auditing procedures globally, harmonization.
Right.
Second, really pushing to improve the actual quality of audits. And third, enforcing strict ethical codes.
So like a three-legged stool: laws, standards, ethics.
Pretty much. You've got the national laws. That's the sort of legal foundation, the must-dos. Then the auditing standards. That's your detailed how-to guide for a quality audit.
Right.
And the code of ethics. That's the moral compass for every decision, even the tricky ones. It was quite revolutionary trying to get this global harmony going.
That makes sense. So zooming in on those national laws then, when does a business actually hit that point where the law says, okay, you need an independent audit? Is it just size?
It's often size, yes. But interestingly, small businesses, especially owner-managed ones, are frequently exempt.
Why is that?
Well, think about it. If the owners are the managers, there's less need for that external check on behalf of separate shareholders. Plus, frankly, other services might be more valuable to them, and an audit is expensive.
Cost-benefit thing.
Exactly. The impact of their mistakes is usually smaller, too. But critically, sectors like banking, insurance, financial services, they're almost never exempt, no matter the size. Too important for the system.
Right. The stakes are higher there. And crucially, for that independence piece, who absolutely cannot be the auditor, where's the hard line drawn?
Oh, it's a very clear line, and for good reason. The law and the code of ethics strictly rule out anyone tied to managing or working for the company.
Makes sense.
Or anyone with significant business links, even close personal ties. Independence is key. That's also why shareholders, not management, usually appoint the auditors.
So built-in safeguards.
Yes, and there are detailed rules like cooling off periods for ex-employees before they could potentially audit their old company. It's about ensuring objective judgment.
Got it. So, okay, national rules vary. But you mentioned global harmony earlier. Is there actually a global body trying to coordinate all this? Seems like a massive job.
There is. That's where the International Federation of Accountants, IFAC, comes in. They're the global body pushing for that harmony.
What's that?
And their board, the IAASB, develops the international standards on auditing the ISAs. These are really important professional guidance, setting a sort of global quality benchmark.
Okay, ISAs. But hang on, if a local law says one thing and an ISA suggests something else, what happens then? Does local law just win?
Absolutely. You've hit a key point there. ISA are guidance. They're not the law themselves.
Okay.
So if there's a conflict, national law always takes priority. Countries often adapt ISAs, sometimes making them even tougher.
Like adding extra requirements.
Exactly. Look at the UK, for instance. After some big accounting issues like Carillion, they moved to a much more proactive regulator, ARGA. They felt they needed to go beyond the baseline,
Right. Tighten the screws locally based on experience. Okay. So we have laws. We have global guidelines.
Mm.
But who is watching the individual auditors day to day, making sure they actually do this stuff? That's the professional bodies, right? Like ACCA.
Precisely. They're absolutely crucial. Guardians of quality, you could say, and public trust. They set tough entry requirements exams, practical experience, ethics checks.
So you can't just call yourself an auditor.
Not a qualified one, no. And it doesn't stop there. They mandate ongoing professional development, CPD, to keep skills sharp. It's a career-long thing.
And if someone messes up, if they don't follow the code or the standards, what teeth do these bodies have?
They have significant enforcement powers. They investigate complaints and can impose disciplinary actions that could be fines, additional training, or in serious cases, even kicking someone out, withdrawing their membership.
Wow. Okay. So real consequences.
Definitely. It's a robust system designed to reassure the public that the professionals they rely on are competent and, importantly, ethical. It underpins confidence in the whole profession.
So from those scandals that really forced change through to the global standards, trying to create consistency, and then the local laws and professional bodies enforcing it. It really is a whole system built to support financial integrity.
It is, and it's constantly evolving, which actually leads to a question maybe for you to think about. Given how critical trust is and how things keep changing, what kind of innovative steps could regulators and auditors take next? Not just to stop failures, but to really boost public confidence even further in financial reporting. Something to ponder.